today. Father, we give you thanks. Let the Spirit of God, we ask, Spirit of God, that you move mighty and sovereignly upon him and through him and touch our hearts. Father, we ask and we thank you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.
Amen. Thank you, pastors.
Amen. Thank you.
Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
I just wanted to start off by saying I'm always honored and privileged to be able to stand up here. I mean, I know, like when I was going through college, they said one of the greatest fears of all mankind is to speak before a crowd. And I took speech in college, and man, they weren't kidding. I remember the first time I was giving my speech, I had my index cards, and they were going, and I would just like to, you know. But I mean, being before Pastor Don and Pastor John, trust me, church, you get over that fear real quick. But I just look at it as an honor to be up here to share with my family, because I can consider you guys my family, amen? And this is our Father's Word. You know, I mean, what greater honor and privilege to share God's Word with his children, amen? And so I prayed, Pastor John told me, no, he asked me to speak today, and I was like, oh, you know, I had already three teachings lined up, but, you know, I went back into my Word, and the Word of God says he will never give us more than we can bear, amen? And sometimes we just are called to be wheat, Kenny, among the weeds. Well, I felt like a weed. But, no, so I got before the Lord, I prayed, and he gave me this word to share with you today. And as we all know, Pastor John has sought out the Lord, and we've been talking about accepting the call that God has for our lives. Amen? And so I sought God on that, and he gave me a word. But before I get into that, I just wanted to share how exciting it is when God gives us a word. How many have gotten a word from God, whether through a prophet or the pastors or a brother or sister or even just heard from God himself? Isn't it exciting? And then, like, when I get those words, I can't wait to get into the day, because I don't know if that word's going to be for someone else, or if it's for me, or if I'm going to see God work through that word to, like, increase my faith. Amen? And so when he gave me this word, I thought of a brother in this body right here, and I asked him to step out of his busy schedule, because I know he's teaching today with his wife. But Joe, up there, Joe Cuvier, I just wanted to publicly thank you, brother, in front of this congregation, that this man is so obedient to the Holy Spirit. He texts me just about every other day, either a scripture that God has put on his heart, or whether it be for me or just all of us, because I know Ray gets some of those texts too. And he's just obedient to give that word. And when I get that word, it just excites me, you know what I mean? I read it, whether it's him just giving me an encouraging word or if he's reading scripture that the Lord has put on his heart. And again, like I said, I just chew on that and I take it into the workplace and see God work through that. Amen? If there's any downfall to that, I would just say, Joe, over the last month, I haven't been working, brother. Those texts are coming kind of early. I mean, normally when I'm working, I got to get up at 4:45 in the morning. So when Joe texts me at 7, I've already been working an hour. But I didn't tell the brother that I was off work, and I'm, you know, I'm staying up till 1, 2 in the morning, and I'm getting my phone's going off. I'm like, what the heck? And it's like Joe giving me this prophetic word. I'm like, I can't even see it, you know? But no, just kidding. Joe, I love you, brother. Just keep the words coming, amen? Just keep the words coming. So, with that being said, I wanted to get started today with a new little twist. I'm going to ask you guys a couple of questions, and I want you to be honest, because we are in the house of God, amen? First of all, by a show of hands, who really believes that God loves them? And if I don't see that hand up, I'm going to come out there and find out why. Okay, in 1 John 4:19, it says, and I remember Pastor John reading this over and over and over again, we love because he first loved us. Amen? The only way we can love anyone or anything is because of God's love for us. He showed us how to love, because in our own nature, we don't know how to love, really, when you think about it, right? The only thing we can really love, for the most part, is ourselves, because this flesh wants everything attentive to itself. Amen? And I think a great example of that love, of God's love for us, is in relationships. You know, I prayed about that, and he showed me, without love, that marriage, let me repeat that, friendship, or even our commitment to Christ can't survive. I'm not going to throw that scripture up there, but you can just look up in 1 Corinthians. It talks about love. And it tells you all the things that love is and what it's not supposed to do. And brother, I know myself, I can't go through that list and check every single one off. I'm going to wind up skipping a couple that I need to work on. But the fact of the matter is, we got to get to that point. Because the more that we have of God's love in us, then our husband, our wife, our family, our friend, or even our walk with Christ, the more we concentrate on love, the less we'll look at the shortcomings of that person, amen? Even ourselves. Because sometimes we can be our own worst enemy. All right, the second question I have, again, by a show of hands, who really believes that you were called by God? Okay. Because I don't think it was by an accident, okay? I don't believe in that theory that two rocks hit each other and, you know, we were formed or something like that. Who knows what the heck they're talking about. But anyways, I believe in my God, amen? And I believe he's called us. And I have scripture, his word, which is truth, to back that up. In Romans 8:28, it says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." That in itself is letting you know that he's called us for his purpose. God had a purpose and plan for you the second that you were created. Isn't that astounding? I mean, it just blows my mind. I mean, I remember when my wife had our first child and I got to see that birth. You want to talk about being freaked out. You know what I mean? Come on, guys. Hold those hands up. I was like, whoa, whoa. You know, that came out of you. You know? But the thing is, God created that. God created that. And I try to get my wife into some of those science shows, you know, which she don't understand either, but she just tries to act like she's a, yeah. That is amazing how God did that, you know, but she doesn't care about all the cells and all that crap, you know. It's just an amazing thing that God can do that, amen? And in Jeremiah 1:5, again, the Word of God says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart." That was his whole purpose of creating us. His whole purpose of creating us is that he had a plan for us. And that plan is working through God to see people blessed. And in that, we ourselves get blessed. Amen? Again, he was talking about the wheat being with the weeds, you know, with the wheat being the Christians and the weeds not. But the fact of the matter is we grow up together, and through that, believe it or not, we kind of help each other out, because the weed is going to show the weed the right way to go. Amen? And that's our purpose and calling in life is, you know, Jesus gave that commission to go out into the world. Amen? In Jeremiah 29:11, it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." God is on our side. He is on our side. So when I think of that short story that Carmen shared this morning about, I shared this morning in the class about sometimes like a roller coaster, you know how it goes up and it goes down? Well, sometimes our lives are like that. And sometimes when we're serving God, things are great. Many blessings, people get saved, our children obeying us. Whoa, that's a bonus. But then sometimes that roller coaster goes down into a valley. But when we go into the valley, we got to look for the good in everything, even in the hard times, like Bob was sharing. It's great to be good when things are going great, you know? But then, like Kathy said, what about in our times where we struggle? Or what about times where we got problems in our lives? Are we still going to edify the Lord, like when we were getting all the blessings? Or do we hear, "Why me? What did I do wrong? I'm reading your word. I'm praying. It can't always be peaches and cream. Did Jesus said, I love this all the time, I used to share with the youth. Jesus never said, follow the yellow brick road. Did he? No, he said, pick up your cross and follow me. You know, to me, that cross is suffering. I mean, we were going to suffer. We're going to suffer for a while. But it's for our own good. Think about your children. I mean, if we're honest with each other, we really don't like chastising our child. We don't like hitting them. We don't like administering pain. But the fact of the matter, if we don't, what's going to happen later on down the line? They're going to be out of control. They're going to be spoiled. They're going to want their way. And that's the way you're setting them up for life. That's why the Bible says don't spare the rod. You got to bring discipline and direction into their lives so that when they go out into the world, they know how to act. You know what I'm saying? I mean, a lot of people want to right away blame the kid, but I think of the parent. It was the parent that showed them which way to go. Amen? Just like God is our Father, He gives us His Word. His Word tells us how to live our lives so that we can be fruitful and that we can bless others and lead others to the Lord. But if we don't want to listen to that and just live our own lives, how are we really going to live for Christ? We're not going to know what it is to suffer. We're not going to know what it is to persevere. We're not going to know any of those things. We'll just be sitting there thinking every time that we're in the valley, why me? Why? You know? So we got to take that to heart. So now that we're in agreement, so to speak, we know that God created us. He loves us. He called us. And He has a purpose and a plan for us. And because we love Him, we accept the call. And that's what led me for this word for you today. The word is, to succeed in that calling, we must become conquerors. And I'm going to get into that. That word conqueror, I looked it up in the Webster. Check out this. It says, what does it mean to be a conqueror? To defeat or subdue by force. To gain or secure control of. To overcome or surmount by physical, mental, or moral force. To be victorious, to win. And as I looked at that definition online, it just, you know how you read God's word and sometimes it just jumps out at you? This definition just jumped out at me, but the things that jumped out were the physical, the mental, and the moral areas. And I thought about that and I started praying, and the Holy Spirit revealed to me, if we can all be honest with each other, we know that these three areas, the physical, the mental, and the moral, are the areas of our lives that the enemy attacks. Think about it for a second. Our physical being, our mental being, and our moral being. Isn't that where the enemy attacks? I mean, think of the armor of God, right? We need that whole armor to protect our physical. The breastplate of righteousness to protect our heart. And the helmet of salvation to protect our mind. I mean, I just got like that vision. Kind of cool, eh? I know I'm in the right spirit, man. I came in here today and said, wow, a castle. I like it. I like it. Donovan, brother, I love you. But these are the areas that the devil wants to attack us at, because if he can defeat us in these areas, we're not going to be able to walk out that plan, that purpose that God has for us. Now, I'm going to show a couple little movie clips that will depict some of these areas, these three areas. And then I'm going to explain how we can overcome them. Now, this first clip I'm going to show, I don't know if any of you might not have seen it. It's called Ben-Hur. Anybody see the movie Ben-Hur? Charlton Heston? Famous chariot race? Well, anyways, for those that haven't, in the movie Ben-Hur, the main character is called Judah Ben-Hur, and he's a well-known, respected Jew. He grew up with this kid friend named Masala, and they went separate ways. Charlton Heston stayed a Jew, and Masala went to Rome. He became this general. And in the movie, he comes back to visit Judah, and he wants Judah to turn in all the religious zealot Jews, you know, that are causing problems with Rome. And he won't do it. And so they kind of part ways. And throughout the movie, what happens is they're watching the new general come in, and these tiles fall off his roof, and it falls by the general on his horse, and the horse kicks up, and the general winds up getting hurt. Well, they made it seem like they did it on purpose. So when Masala comes into his house, Judah says it was an accident, the tile was loose, blah, blah, blah. But because they had split ways, he sentenced his mother and daughter, who he grew up with, he sentenced them to go to prison, and he sends Judah Ben-Hur to the galleys, you know, to be an oarsman for the Roman Navy. And back in those days, you were chained to your oar, so if that boat sunk, guess what? You went down with it. So I'm going to pick up this movie clip as he's heading to the galleys or walking through the desert. Okay, Sarah?
Water!
Soldiers first!
They're all dying of thirst as they're walking in the desert.
Here!
Technical difficulty.
No water for him.
God, help me.
That's good, Sarah. Boy, that scene, man, I'm starting crying. But as you've seen there, I just wanted to depict that scene. As I watched that movie, and it's what the Holy Spirit led me to share here, is for this part about the physical. Of course, I could have used my wife with her disease, or Carmen with her leg, or even myself. Or I'm sure there's many people that may have physical ailments, but to me, I took it to a further step. If you notice, when he was walking in chains, he was in bondage. To me, that's like the enemy when he has us entrapped or ensnared or with his lies. We feel like we're in bondage, like we can't get out, you know? And then, of course, you notice he was all weak, of course, walking through the desert and the heat. And I looked at that as sometimes we become that way through just the daily battles of the same struggles that we just can't seem to overcome. I mean, has anybody ever been there? I know I have. And then, of course, he's dying of thirst, and I think of that as we can die spiritually if we don't have the water of life. Amen? Sometimes we get so caught up in the battle. We're so weak from the battle, the daily fight, or the daily struggle, that we forget about God. I mean, you've seen there in that picture, that was Jesus that came and brought him the water. But he didn't bring the water until he called out for God to help him. And sometimes it's just that simple. It's that simple. I mean, his word says, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. And yet, sometimes he's the last one that we call on. Amen? I mean, I don't know what it is within us that we figure that we can just do it on our own. Knowing that we have an awesome, powerful Father like that, that could help us in these situations. And then, of course, how he falls at the end and he cries out, right? He was about ready to quit right there. He was going to die. And sometimes we get to that point where we're just about to give up. And then something within us, that Holy Spirit that's still within us, that spiritual man that's within us, helps us to and allows us to call out for God for help. Amen? Just like we've seen in that scene right there. And then, of course, the Holy Spirit put on my mind 1 Peter 5:10. And God, and the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered, that key word, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong and firm and steadfast. Amen? And the rest of that scene, you know, he gets like a rejuvenation, you know, because you notice how Jesus touched his hand and he was giving him his anointing and it gave him the will and the power to get that strength that you need to get up off, out of that rut that you've been stuck in, to get victory over that addiction or whatever the case may be that the devil had you entrapped in. He gives you that power to get out of that. Because, you know, time and time again, our pastors tell us, and it's stuck in my mind, the only power that the enemy has is what we allow him to have. We are children of the Most High God. We are co-heirs to the throne of heaven. And yet we allow ourselves to get tripped up by the devil, you know. Even my son Nick, that guy, he's a card. when we have our home group, he likes to sneak down when it's snack time. I think he listens by the vent to hear when we're praying at the end of the class. And he comes down because we're having some good snacks. And I think one time Alma goes, "Hey, what are you doing here? This is for Christians only." He goes, "I'm the guest speaker. Jesus loves you. Where's the snacks?" But no, even he himself told me, "Dad, God created the devil." I go, "Yeah, you're right, son." He goes, "So then what power could he have over us?" But yet we allow him to, you know? It's funny. But in order for us to succeed in the call or purpose that God has for us, we must be put through the fire, so to speak, to strengthen ourselves. I think of David came to my mind. David. I mean, when he was young, he fought off a bear and a lion. And we all know the story of David, amen? He had to live by the sword for the rest of his life. So God was training him for that battle because he was constantly going to be in battle. Or Jesus, there's the prime example. After he got baptized, he went into the desert, amen? Just like Moses did. And I look at going into the desert as being cleansed. Because when you're out in the desert, you ain't got nobody but God. Amen? I mean, I remember I was at my brother's house in Arizona while I was staying with my mother. And it was about 12 or 13 blocks that I had to walk to my brother's house. Man, I remember I got about halfway. You know, I got about halfway and I stopped. And I'm like, "Good Lord, is it hot out here, man?" My legs were getting a little weak. And I made it to my brother's house. I remember I got in there and I'm like, "Man, you got anything to drink, man?" You know, I got a big old glass of iced tea. And then I turned on the afternoon news because he was taking a shower. We were getting ready to go somewhere. They had a record high of 120 degrees. I was like, "Good Lord. No wonder I almost passed out." And that was only walking 12 blocks. Jesus walked for 40 days and 40 nights. That's a cleansing right there. I'm going to tell you that right now. That's all you got to depend on is God in that instance, you know. And then he was tempted. Think of the temptation. That was preparing him again, I believe, to make him strong spiritually to combat his flesh, his own desires, the flesh. Satan was going to always be probably biting at his feet like a chihuahua, you know, because he had a big task to perform. Amen? And so God prepared him. And then, of course, one of my favorites is Job. Whew. Job suffered for perseverance. I looked up the word perseverance, continued effort to do or achieve something despite difficulties, failure, or opposition. That's what we need to have, church. We need to have perseverance. And the only way we're going to get that is by testing. You know, if we always just got the good for God, all the blessings, and we never learn how to suffer, you know, like, I don't like to use this as a real good thing, but think about it. Like, I think about when I was in the world and the drugs I did. Okay, not that I'm proud of that, but how could I really minister to a drug addict if I didn't know what he went through? You know, it's like he's going to look at me and say, well, who are you? You ain't never got high. And I'm not saying go out and get high. I'm not saying that. Get that on tape. I'm just saying that I just think of the former things that we went through, even though they might not have been good, God can use them for good. Amen? To minister to others. Now, the second area I'd like to talk about is the mental. And I'm going to use this area out of my own personal experience. And I shared it a few weeks back. The Mexico missions trips. I mean, the Holy Spirit was really, really, really pressing upon my heart to share. But again, because the devil had a hold of my mind, I was hiding in the closet, so to speak. I didn't want to share that I wasn't doing the missions trips because of my fear. Well, I mean, I know that sounds crazy, but it's where I was. You know what I mean? And I was too ashamed to share that with the pastors or with the fellow brothers and sisters in my home group, that I was too afraid to go to Mexico. You know, you hear all these stories about the kidnappings and the cartel. And even though a lot of my brothers and sisters went and they came back with no issue, the devil just had me so afraid of that area that I didn't want to go. You know? And finally, I just didn't want to carry that anymore. You know what I mean? I just didn't want to carry that burden anymore. And I read this scripture, actually, and it's what brought me to the light. In Romans 8, 14, 15, it says, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. Man, that ministered to me hard. It's like, why am I walking around in fear? You know what I mean? I got a God that created the universe. I got a God that allowed his only begotten Son to die for us so that we have a chance to go to heaven. He loves us that much. Why should I walk around in fear or shame? You know? But it's just that the devil had me believing in that. And sometimes he can get in our head and do that. I mean, he even lied to me on kind of one of those gray areas. You know, those gray areas. Because I was giving money for the missions. And I was praying every day for the missions. Which are good things. But is that really the purpose and the plan that God had for me? For my own life? You see what I'm saying? I mean, if the pastors and their wives and they wanted me to go on that missions trip, then that should have been confirmation enough to know that that's where I needed to be. But I was trying to hide behind the money. Oh, here, I'll pay your way. Here's some money. Oh, I swear I'm going to pray for you every day for God's success. But God wanted more than that, amen? He wanted more than that. He wanted me to go there and experience that. Because that's part of my purpose. That's part of the plan he has for me. See how the devil can get you in that gray area sometimes. You know, it wasn't wrong that I gave money or I prayed. That's not a sin. But he was getting me to believe that that's all I needed to do. And see, instead, I needed to be asking God what his purpose and plan was. Instead, I was putting faith in my own understanding, thinking that what I was doing was good. It was a good thing. And it was a good thing. But it wasn't everything. God requires everything. Amen? He doesn't want 50%. He doesn't want 60%. He wants all of you. 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9a says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith. He wants us to succeed in our call, the Lord. And if we call upon him, he is just and faithful to help us. Amen. Matthew 7:7, we should all know that scripture. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. I mean, the Word of God is right there for us. It's like a blueprint to success. And yet, sometimes when it comes down to it, we forget all about it. You know? The third area I wanted to discuss was our moral area. And I got a little clip here. Now, come on, I know everyone's seen King of Kings, right? King of Kings? I mean, I kind of got saved on that movie. I was about 12 years old when I saw that movie. I still cry to this day when he dies on the cross. And then at the end when he sees the guys on the shore, you just see his shadow. Oh, man, I just start bawling. But anyways, this is the part where Jesus is going into the Garden of Gethsemane. Oh, what a great Jesus, eh?
My Father, all things are possible to you. Take away this cup from me. And yet, not as I will, but as you will.
He knew his death was coming, amen. He pleads to his Father, all things are possible to you, Lord God, if there is any other way. At that point, I believe that Jesus had to make a moral decision right there. He knew what lied before him. Like Bob says, he had to consider the cost because he was going to die. He definitely was going to die. And then he makes that ultimate moral decision to his Father's purpose and plan. And he says, not my will, but your will be done. Like Pastor John's always saying, you can't even measure that kind of love. I mean, I think of, I'm looking out here at all these moms with young kids and old. You guys are like the loving, most compassionate beings that Christ has put on the face of this earth. But you mess with one of your little ones, and man, heaven help us. You guys are like grizzly bears, man. I mean, you push the man out the way. I'll handle this. Whew. I think of a grizzly bear, the mother with her cubs. She'll die for them. She will literally die for them. And that's that kind of love that Jesus had at that very moment. I love them so much. And my Father so much. And his purpose and his plan for me so much that I'm going to die for them. And we all know that there's no greater gift than to lay down our life. Amen. At that exact moment, Jesus becomes the ultimate conqueror of all time. Amen. He defeated his flesh. He defeated sin. He defeated death. And if we freely choose, He even defeats our death as well. Amen. So in closing, I would just say that when we feel weak in our walk with Christ, whether it's in the physical or it's in the mental or it's in the moral areas of our lives, we need to remind ourselves that we are sons and daughters of God. And we should bathe ourselves with the Word of God. Hebrews 4:12a. I got this little plaque at home, and it has it's a Bible. It's like in bronze. It's a Bible with a sword right in the middle of it. And it's this scripture, and I love this scripture. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit. His Word is truth, church. And truth is like a promise. So when we get weak and we get into these times of troubles or get caught in a trap, you need to read and memorize these scriptures like I have. He is a shield to those who take refuge in Him. No weapon forged against you will prevail. If God is for us, who can be against us? And one of my favorites, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So let us become conquerors for our Lord. Let's succeed in the call that God has planned for us. We can do it, church, because we're on the winning side. Amen? God has already won the war. He just wants us to participate in the battle. And we have each other. We have each other, like Kenny said this morning. Like he said, when one suffers, we all suffer. Because we're a family. We're God's children. Amen? When one needs prayer, we all need to pray. Now, don't just leave it up to the prayer team, although I love you guys. But there's power in prayer. We need to come together as a unit. Amen? Can I have the prayer team come up, please? So again, just when you find yourself in trouble like I was, don't wait. Please don't wait. I mean, I look at that as wasted time that I might have been able to go on two or three of those missions trips, and I miss that blessing. You know? Not only did I figure that I robbed them of a blessing because I could have been there, you know, in the things that they did, but I robbed myself. And that's all the devil is. He's a liar and a robber. He just wants to rob you from the love of God. He wants to rob you from the blessings of God. But we have the power, we have the tools to defeat the enemy. Remember, he has no more power in your life than what? Than what you allow him to have. Amen? You got pastors here, you got elders, you got this church family. They'll help. We just need to call out. Amen? Amen. Let's close. Hallelujah. Father, Lord God, I just thank you for this message today, Lord God. And Father, I do pray, Lord, that we would all become conquerors, Lord, for the purpose and the plan and the will that you have for our lives, Lord God. And Father, I pray, Lord God, against the schemes of the enemy, Lord God. Father, that you would give us insight. You would give us wisdom, Father God, on how to sidestep those traps and snares, Lord. Father, on how we can defeat the lies of the enemy, Lord God, that would keep us in bondage, Lord. And Father, I do pray, Lord, that we would call out to you, Father, in our time of need, Lord God. Father, your word says, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be open, Lord God. And Father, we know that your word is truth, Lord God. So Father, right now, Lord, I just pour out a blessing right now, Father God, on everyone here, Lord God, that if they're having issues, Lord, that they would be able to come up here and get prayer, Lord God. Father, that you would give them insight, wisdom, Lord, discernment, Father God. And most of all, Father, your love, your grace, and your mercy, and your power, Father God, to see them through every situation. In Jesus' mighty name. And they all said, amen.